It's a glorious time when we can just get together and discover that business meetings can be enjoyable. We can have a time. When you're with the family, it's a great time. And I said this afternoon in my report how much I appreciate all of you and your prayers during some difficult times for us. The only reason I'm here tonight is because of your prayers. It's not because of medical science. It's the prayers of God's people. Brother and Sister Brankle's oldest daughter, we call her Branky, is one of the great prayer warriors of the church today. Prettiest little thing. I mean, you'd look at Don Brankle and you'd never believe. She's 47 years old and looks like she might be 23. But she prays. And she stayed on her face before God until she prayed through and came and told her dad and mom, said, "You don't need to worry about Brother Jackson. He's coming through." And I'm not coming through very fast, but I'm a coming. I've had to try to relearn a few things, and I've discovered that all the glory doesn't come in the thunder. So I've been trying to lightning a little more and a thunder a little less. But I believe I have a word from the Lord tonight. And I want to read a very familiar passage of Scripture with you if you have your Bible. In the first chapter of the Gospel as recorded by Matthew. You read it every year at Christmas time. But let's read it again, beginning with verse 18. Several years ago, I recorded the New Testament. And I didn't realize they could splice and fix that stuff so it wouldn't show the mistakes. And I started with chapter 1. You've never lived until you practice that, until you can read all those begats without a single mistake. But having remembered that, that's why I'm starting with verse 18. If you want to read them without a single mistake, you go right ahead later. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Did you ever wonder who found that? It was the talk of the town. Never had been anything like that happen before. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins." Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, I want to look especially at verse 21 and lift three words out of that verse as a text tonight. I don't want to do any injustice by taking something out of context, but I want to do it for emphasis' sake. Let's read the whole verse again, and then I want to give you those three words. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And the text and the title of my message tonight is Call His Name Jesus. O Lamb of God, I love you. I praise and magnify your name. Jesus, I love you. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for the kindred spirit we feel in this place. I thank you that we have this opportunity to be together one more time before the trumpet lifts us out of here. Thank you, Jesus. I ask you to glorify your name tonight. Oh God, let the Holy Ghost come to anoint the preacher and at the same time to anoint the people that they shall hear what you would have them hear and be touched as only you can touch them. Let the words that flow from this pulpit be pleasing and acceptable to you. I ask in that holy name above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Call his name. He is Jesus, our Savior, but also our Lord. Our Holy Ghost baptizer, our soon returning King. We have said it so long that I'm not sure we really hear it anymore, but he is our soon returning King. I just tonight felt like I wanted to talk to you about Jesus. He never grows old in my heart. The first, my mother told me, she taught me my first word in the human tongue was the name of Jesus. I learned to say Jesus before I could say Daddy or Mommy. It was Jesus. And in the darkest midnights of my soul, the name of Jesus has turned on the light. On the highest pinnacles of victory, when it seemed like the sun would never dim, I have called that name, and it seemed like I'd been standing in the shadows and suddenly was flooded with dazzling light. What a name! I want to talk about Jesus, who he is, the ruler whose kingdom is from eternity to eternity, a kingdom without end, a kingdom without interruption, a kingdom with no hyphens or apostrophes or commas, a kingdom with only exclamation points, the King whose kingdom will never fade and never fail and never wane. His name is Jesus. Call his name. The name of Jesus. He is the Creator. John said of him, without him was not anything made that was made. Stand on a mountain and say, my King made this mountain. Go to a valley spring and say, my King put that spring in this valley hillside. Go anywhere you want to go and say, it is my King who made it. For not anything was made without him. He is eternal, without beginning, without end. I don't understand it, but I verily believe it. It's just one of the marvelous mysteries about him. When you call his name, you call the name of mystery of mysteries. He is the Ancient of Days, and yet he's Bethlehem's babe. How do you explain that mystery? He is the only mystery who can combine immeasurable power with unfathomable love. You never see that. Any man in history who was endued with enormous power also followed it with unspeakable atrocity and corruption. Only one is wrapped in a package of unlimited power and fathomless love. That's Jesus, the mystery. On the one hand, he is the conqueror of a tempest who can just say, "Peace be still," and screaming winds die to an evening zephyr, and churning waves become glassy smooth. What a conqueror! And yet at the same time, he becomes the crucified lamb. Mystery of mysteries, beyond explanations. You could fill this room with books from floor to ceiling, and stacks upon stacks, and row upon row, and all the wise men who ever spoke or wrote, and never proclaimed to the adequate and ultimate satisfaction of mankind this mystery beyond all mysteries. No wonder we call his name. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. In a world where veracity has been abandoned for the convenience of the moment, he is the truth, unshakable, unsinkable, never wavering. What was true about Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago was true of him 10 million years ago. And what was true of him then is true of him in this very hour. We shout with the writer of Hebrews, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, eternally unchanged. His word will be alive and well when 1,000 worlds like this have made their way into the black hole of eternal midnight. I can tell you, his name is Jesus. I just want to talk about him for a while. Because he is the life. That's what he is. Every son of Adam's race who has fled to him for mercy will never, not ever, in multiplied millions of years, ever, ever die. When you flee to him and cling to him, you can rest assured that every devil out of darkness and every despot who ever marched with ruthless step across the face of human history can never rub your name out of that book of life. Glory to God! We believe we are eternally secure just simply by abiding under his wings and staying close to him. When that old sun that blazes its way across the noonday sky has faded into a flickering candle, the name of Jesus Christ will still ring out down heaven's corridors. When the moon and all the stars have been swallowed into darkness, as one by one the fires go out, we shall not even notice that they have died. We'll be living in a city where the Lamb is the light. Glory to God. He is the light of this world. I'm talking about Jesus, the Christ of every road, the Redeemer available to every man. He is Jesus, the champion of the outcast, the champion of the downtrodden, the champion of the heartbroken. He comes to the rescue, not of the high and mighty and proud, but to the lowly and the humble. He is our champion of all champions. Glory to God. Jesus, the name before which the denizens from hell shrink in terror and in fear. Jesus Christ, the name above every name that terrifies tyrants and yet comforts little children. Call His name. You'll find there everything you will ever need. That name produces a sword of separation for the ungodly, but it's a haven of rest for the redeemed. What a name is the name of Jesus. I'm sticking close to what I wrote because I didn't have the energy to do a lot of studying. And I sat down at my typewriter computer and said, Lord, what do you want me to talk about at the council? And He said, talk about me. And I just started writing, and this is what came out. I haven't had a chance to revise it, haven't had a chance to memorize it. I'll preach it 6 more times, and I won't need any notes. Jesus, call His name. We have found Him to be the balm of Gilead to the hurting heart. The whisper of that name can bring you personal tranquility when storms are raging all around you. I can tell you that He will inspire the noblest qualities in His followers. He's the one who lifts slaves into mastery and reduces the proud to slavery. What a name, the name of Jesus. He's the King who wears the multiplied faceted crown. John the Revelator said, His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns. Oh, I don't know what all those crowns mean, but I know it's a crown with many different facets. I know that He is the peace giver when your world is in turmoil. I think there's a facet of that in His crown. I know He's the sea walker when your ship is surrounded by tossing angry waves. I know that He's the fiery furnace stroller when your stand for truth has landed you in a flame. And I'll tell you one thing, brother, that if you stand for truth, sooner or later you'll get in a fire that's 7 times hotter than anything you've ever known before. Well, let me just talk to you about Jesus for a moment. Janice sang a while ago and said, He'll be there when the doctor shakes his head and tells your weeping family it doesn't look like there's anything else that we can do. He'll be there when the sheer brown walls of the valley of the shadow of death rise steeply on either side of you. I can tell you, He'll be there as you descend into that valley of no return. He'll turn on the lights, and you'll see His light shining at the end of that dark valley. He'll be there when the hissing hordes from hell stand threatening to engulf your very soul. And when that gigantic being from another world pounces on you as though to overwhelm you, you'll hear a voice behind you say, don't worry, you're going to walk right on through Him. And I can tell you from experience that you need fear no evil as long as you can say, Thou art with me. You can walk triumphantly through the dark valley of the shadow, and He'll turn on the lights and give you solace and joy in your soul. Hallelujah. Just want to talk to you about Jesus. He's inspired more songs and set fire to more sermons, sanctified more lives, surrounded more saints, settled more disputes than all of the colleges of music and schools of preaching and majors in psychology and counseling combined. Whispering His name can do more to bring peace in a family than 1,000 hours of skilled counseling. I'm not fussing about counselors. I'm just advising to go to the ultimate counselor. I'm not griping about folks sitting down and talking over their troubles. I've just found out you're better off talking to Jesus about your troubles. Somebody said, don't tell people your troubles. Half of them don't care, and the other half are glad. You better tell it to Jesus. We used to sing, tell it to Jesus alone. And that works still today. I've found that in His name, there is more music in a moment than the London Philharmonic Symphony could create in a century. Just His name, every sound and syllable of His name is a balm to the hurting soul. Glory be to the Lamb of God. We have shouted it. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the sum total of everything that is high and holy and desirable. He is Jesus, and He's my dearest friend. He's my Savior. Call His name. Don't ever fail to call His name. Glory to the Lamb. Well, that's what He is. But look at what He can do. Praise God. Hallelujah to His Lamb. I have to get a little bit of wind, so you just hold on to your sail while I fill mine. He can save anybody. Listen to me. He can save anybody. The serial killer can find in Him a transforming Savior. That demon-driven dope addict can find in Him a mighty deliverer and a total Savior. The rawest sinner who ever lived can be turned into the purest specimen of a sanctified life. That guilt-driven, hatred-filled, hard-hearted convict behind bars can find in Him a source of true life and happiness and love. I just want to talk about Jesus tonight. I don't think I want to preach to you. I just want to talk to you about Jesus. Oh, what a Savior He is. I can tell you what He can do. He can answer the problems of this tormented society. If you'll listen carefully between the lines, you'll hear the leading news commentators and the anchor people saying, to whom can we go? What can we do? Who has an answer? I want to shout it to the television set. Jesus has the answer to this tormented society. Call His name. He is the life of the party because He's the imparter of life. You bring Jesus in and every party gets a life. Glory to God. Without Jesus, they're all dead. You couldn't drink enough whiskey to make a party happy. You turn Jesus loose and it'll get happy in a hurry. He brings hope to a hopeless society because He's the inventor of hope. I don't know where He thought it up. I don't know how He came to a point somewhere in the eternal distance past that He could say, I'm going to put something in men's hearts so that no matter what the devil says or the doctor says or the humanity says, I'm going to give them hope that says there will be a tomorrow. Glory to God. He dropped something in our soul so that you and I know that when we leave this building for the last service of this district council after tomorrow night's ordination meeting, and we'll shake hands and hug each other and know that we will never say goodbye for the last time. There's always a tomorrow for the child of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. You may lay this old body to rest one of these days, but saints, I want you to shout around that box and say, we're headed for another day. There's a tomorrow coming. He dropped hope into our hearts, and we don't have to be afraid of what the future might hold. No matter how deeply enmeshed in the most degrading of sin that a soul may be, Jesus brings hope because He can set that sinner free with just one whisper of His lips. When I was a 10-year-old boy over in a little Indian village in northeastern Oklahoma, a place called Milogany, it's not on the map, unless it's just a community name that was there from history. No post office there anymore. There wasn't much of one when we were there. But on a night in a little church, on a good Sunday, they'd have 30 people. And Sister Gladys Henson, who later founded the Hillcrest Children's Home in Hot Springs, Arkansas, stood and preached a simple gospel message. She preached maybe 25 minutes, and I sat on that front seat, barefooted, ragged overalls, hand-me-down clothes. We lived in the parsonage, and Daddy was the preacher. And on a really good week, he got maybe $8 if it was a bumper week. And I, when Sister Henson said, "Is there anybody here tonight who would like to come to Jesus?" There wasn't a big crowd. I don't think there was over 18 or 20 people there. And most of you, if there's not that many folks, you won't give an altar call. In fact, there's some of you won't give an altar call if you got a house full of people. And you know good and well you got members sitting there that are full of sin. They ought to get right with God. So give an altar call every time you get a chance. Invite people to come to Jesus. And Sister Henson said, "Is there anybody here who'd like to come to Jesus?" She didn't say, "Is there anybody who'd like to join the Assemblies of God?" She didn't say, "Is there anybody who'd like to make a decision?" She didn't say, "Is there anybody here who'd like to do better?" She said, "Is there anybody here who'd like to come to Jesus?" I stepped out, went and knelt down at that altar. Nobody came to pray except me and Sister Henson. And Jesus showed up. And she leaned down close. My mom and dad had been called away because my cousin had had his eye put out, a little boy, and they were a godless family, needed somebody to pray with them. Sister Henson said, "Well, I'll take care of the boys. You just go ahead and see about him." They didn't get back till way late in the night. So she was the only one that came to pray. And Jesus walked by that little former schoolhouse in Milagany, Oklahoma, and saw something in a tousled-haired, tongue-tied little boy, barefooted and ragged, and said, "Yeah, I'll write his name in my book." You know, it took the same miracle of grace to save a 10-year-old boy as it would take to save a man on death row. It's the same grace. It's the same miracle worker. His name is Jesus. That's why I lift that text kind of out of the verse and just say, call his name. I tell you, folks, if you'll call his name, he'll cause enabling love to sweep over your soul and through your heart to forgive anybody in this land who has done you wrong. There's times when somebody does you wrong, and it's easy to hang on to it. Just call his name, and he'll come by and say, "Ah, it doesn't make any difference. Just turn it loose." Call his name, and he'll send swift-winged energy into your church, and a fresh river of life will flow through, and on the banks of that river will grow the trees of life. Glory to the Lamb of God. You can call his name, and angels will leap to do whatever it is that you need to have done at that moment. I can tell you that if you call his name, he'll be quick to hear you, and peace will rule in your church board and in your business meetings. There's a lot of times we get the cart before the horse. Spend a little while calling his name. It'll make a difference. That's what he can do. He can heal your sick body. When they laid those stripes upon his back and sliced his side with a Roman sword, they didn't have any idea what they were doing. They said, "We're punishing an old boy that's violated the Jewish law, set himself up to be the king in the place of Caesar." Let me tell you, there's a big difference between what's happening and what's going on.
sampling from the record of his healing power. Matthew 4:24 said, news about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Matthew 14:14 says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Listen to it. That's the word of God that'll never fail. Matthew 15:30 says, great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. He didn't cull any of them. Matthew 19:2 says, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. Matthew 21:14 says, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. I just read those verses from one little record. I had to jump over and hear what Dr. Luke, the trained physician, had to say, at least in one verse. And in chapter 4 and verse 40, he said, when the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. His name is Jesus. If we had even the slightest inkling of what he wants to do this very night in this very room, that just the sheer anticipation of it would cause a shout of victory to erupt from our souls like nothing we've ever heard before. Brother McCarty, Lou Gehrig's disease is nothing for the man called Jesus. He can walk by and lay his hand and not only stop that thing in its progress, but reverse its course even to now. Jana, blindness is nothing to the man from Nazareth. This Galilean can heal. He can bring you back from the very jaws of death. It doesn't matter to him where you are in that valley. That mighty nail-pierced hand can reach in and pull you back when death thinks it has you in his grip. It said he healed them there. Glory! 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 Glory to his matchless name. He can walk down this aisle and he doesn't have to just physically touch you. He can just look in your direction, point a finger your way, and every malignant cell in your body is erased as though a giant hand had swept across the chalkboard of your soul. This is Jesus. I just want to talk about Jesus tonight. Call his name. Turn him loose in our churches, friends. Let him do his work. Don't try to work it up. Don't try to shake it up. Don't try to knock it up. Just do your best to let Jesus loose in your service. And if you turn the Savior loose, he'll heal all the people that need to be healed and save every soul that needs to be saved. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what he is, what he can do, and a whole lot more. You can take this little talk about Jesus, doctor it up some, preach it like it ought to be preached. Let me tell you what he's going to do. We have heard this preacher. I tell you this morning, he preached like a man from another world. He gets to roaming around in that book of Revelation. As much as I like strawberry pie, I'd rather hear him roam in Revelation. Amen. And we know he's coming back again. That's what he's going to do. I readily admit that no man knows the day or the hour. It could be tonight. It could be next week, next month, next year. It could be 100 years. I don't know. I don't think it will be. I'm sort of like Pa Jackson. He never made any arrangements for his funeral, so he never did expect to die. He said, I'm not going to prepay a funeral. I'm going to be here when the rapture takes place. Well, that may not be wise business-wise, but it'll keep you ready. He promised it, and he'll do it. We used to sing an old song, "Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battle's all won. He'll shout the victory as he breaks through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me, for you." Oh, he's coming back again. You and I know that this old world has not seen the last of Jesus the Christ. Call his name. Oh, call his name. The last time the general population of this world saw him, there was deeply pressed upon his brow a grotesque crown of thorns. That's the last time the world saw him. He showed himself alive to his disciples, but he never showed himself alive to Herod. That's how different I would have run the show if I'd have been him. I would have come out of that grave, tapped old Herod one dark night on the shoulder. I'd have said to the angel, "Turn on that big spot right on my face." And Herod would have awakened to the most startling sight of his life. He didn't do that. He just showed himself to his folks. So the last time the world saw him, he had that crown of thorns upon his brow, hanging on a cross, spilling his life's blood. The preacher mentioned it this morning. The next time this world sees him, they're going to push a whole wall over in heaven, just going to move it out of the way. In chapter 4, John said the door opened. I went up. Chapter 19, he said they just opened the whole wall. They just moved the wall. And he came riding out. Still had the insignia. King of kings and Lord of lords. And they said, "Every eye shall look upon him whom they have pierced. And the kings of the earth will bow and pay him homage." Oh, he's coming back again. He made that promise to us. Friend, that's our hope. Let's turn him loose. Don't bind him. Give him a chance and he'll save souls. You've finished preaching. You've preached your heart out. If you believe God gave you that word, don't shut it off until you've given people a chance to respond. You'll be surprised at who's there if you'll just pay attention to what Jesus wants to do. One of the good men, a layman in our church, one of our churches, has a heart for souls. Probably has won more people to Jesus by accident than most of us have on purpose. He's a farmer. And he had a house on his farm that he rented to a family. Actually, it wasn't a family. It was a father and two sons. Mama had left them. They were just pagan, sinful, heathen people. That man's little boy, 11 years old, came out to get acquainted with the farmer. And he got acquainted with him. He said, "Son, are you a Christian? Do you know Jesus?" "Well," he said, I think so." He said, I went to church with a friend of mine and they saved me." He said, "They said they saved me anyway. Well, last Wednesday night," as he always does, he picked that little boy up. He had told him, he said, "Miss Phil," he said, I sure appreciate you taking a little time with me." He said, "You know, I don't have any friends." I said, why don't you have friends, Joey? He said, well, he said, I'm just too fat. Kids at school say I'm fat, so want to play with me, and they don't like me. Well, I just kind of stay by myself, but you've been nice to me. Well, Phil knows that Jesus likes fat folks, too. Good thing. So the other night on the way home from church, Joey said, Mr. Phil, he said, I'm scared to go to sleep at night. And who knows what all the reasons are, the battles that have occurred in that home, strife and warfare. Phil said, why are you afraid to go to sleep, Joey? Well, he said, Mr. Phil, I'm afraid I might die and go to hell. And I'm scared to go to sleep. He said, you suppose next time we go to church, Mike, you could go down to front me and stay with me, and maybe you could really sneak in. When Brother Phil pulled into the driveway where that little boy lived, that mama who's where, when he opened that third old Bible, he's like an angel. Right to the got up in there. Take good in the hand, right in there. And he ended up read Jesus. God lover that he had only gotten son. Whosoever believed in him, not his. Everlasting life. Look above us, verse. He said, Bill, know who that means. Well, I said, yes. So it means me. Were you saying that too? So it means me. We've got to raise no money. And Jesus said, oh, yeah, I see that. He said, what do you do? He said, just can I have Jesus come here? Huh? Well, he said, I don't know how to pay. Phil very innocent. He said, stop talking to me. If you get Jesus in the cup as well, if you get Jesus, comes all matter. And you're mad about it and think something today, it won't be off. He said, just talk. You know Jesus. You just like you come to me. You know Jesus. And Joe, bad boy. Tears started to down a little. Phil said, you say, would you just come into my heart? Make not be afraid to leave me. And he said, all of a sudden, there was a presence that Jesus gave him. And he said, Joey, to be bad as water. We forget something. And Joey, well, what is that? He said, I'll do that. He said, have you really meant this God to Joey? Don't you underestimate the intelligence of our kids. They don't have to have stupid looking puppet to get the message of gospel. If you think your kids are so dumb that the only way they're going to hear gospel, you've got somebody playing puppets with them. You can see this is their activity. I don't see anything wrong with it, but I'll glad you the kid knows how the Holy Ghost fights to get me with a funny little stuff. Just the way it is. They hard to figure out what to say. We 11 old together that Martha said would, and the T5 students in the turn of things smart to figure out what to call they are. All we have to do is give a chance. I'm not just shut up, but I think it'll be time of getting a listen. So they don't hate this to serve. Mine knew how to care too. He was a psychologist. He fixed sort of. See, if you turn him loose, if you say, Jesus, there's a wolf half lamb. He'll come to lion tribe. A mighty roar. He'll steal lamb. In Joey's case, he became the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And I tell you why I believe Joey really got saved. Phil came into prayer. Your daddy loved him. Yeah, he went in. This one piece little boy, just give this to Jesus. He wants honorary people. He said, I'd be thrilled. For that to happen to my boy. Yeah. Mama, might come. I'm gonna be baptized, because Jesus is in my heart. He said, "Let's set a day." Cause I want grandma to be there. She needs Jesus in her heart. That's a good sign they got saved. They want everybody in the whole clan to be there. I'm going over to Brother Loftonston's church and have a water baptismal service. I guess you knew about that Pastor. I told him it'd be all right. Well, I can tell you that. When nobody on this earth can hear you. When your speech is locked in the silence of your mind. Vocal cords are paralyzed, The name of your dearest loved ones.
Round,
To the human race, I can tell you that when you